Well, before Becky sneaks out of here, I just want to say that she always does a great job on the story sermon. And as a matter of fact, today's scripture and story sermon reminded me of a story about an elderly couple. Once a week, they would go to their favorite dining spot, and they were not real wealthy people, so they would go to McDonald's once a week. And they would always order the same meal. They would get a McChicken sandwich off the dollar meal, a pie, and a drink, and fries. And they would do this to share their love with each other. And the woman would always bring with her her little Kroger's bag, and in the Kroger's bag, she would have a few items. She would have a couple of cups. She would have a couple of plates, a couple of napkins, and a knife, a plastic knife. And she handed the plastic knife to her husband, and her husband opened up the McChicken sandwich and would carefully and evenly divide it in half, and would put half on one plate and half on another. Likewise, he would take the fries, and those of you who have kids know that when you divide things, you have to make sure that you do it very evenly. So he would divide the fries into two portions, sometimes giving his wife a little bit more. And then he would take the pie out of the box. Normally, this would be an apple pie, but for the holidays, McDonald's have holiday pies. And he would divide it in half and put a half on each plate. Then he would take the soft drink, and they would always get Coke, and he would pour half of it into one cup. Let's see if I can do this without spilling on the carpet. Half on another cup, and he would kind of even them up. And then he would put half before his wife and half before him. And there was a younger gentleman who was sitting in the restaurant eating his meal who noticed the older couple sharing this meal. And he came over to them and he said, "My parents have been deceased for a number of years. And I would like to, if I could, I would like to offer up to buy you another complete meal so you can each have a complete meal." And the older gentleman said, "No, we have always shared everything. And we do this to show our love. But thank you very much." And so the younger man went over and took his seat. And then he was glancing over at the couple, and he noticed that only the man was eating his half. The woman was just sitting there very comfortably with her hands folded, smiling at the man. And so the younger gentleman came over again and he said, "I hate to interrupt again, but I notice that only your husband is eating. Why aren't you eating?" And the woman said, "That's because we share everything. And it's his turn to have the teeth first." So if you had a new idea, something that was revolutionary, who would you share it with? Would you share it with movers and shakers, people that could help you connect with people and network? Would you share it with wealthy people? People who perhaps could finance your idea? Would you share it with famous people? People who know exactly how to promote ideas? Would you share it with powerful people? People who could provide you with the motivation and the resolution to carry your idea out? Or would you share it with people who had great imaginations that would have the creativity that could help you promote your idea? Well, Jesus didn't seek out any of these type of people to promote his why, his passion, his Father's reason for the incarnation. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And that's from Mark 2:17. Jesus instead shared his revolutionary new idea on love with the lost. Now, if you're using that handy-dandy guide in your bulletin and filling it out, I came up with that to give our technology folks a little break rather than putting it on the screen. And it's kind of my old school way of doing things. If you notice, the lost has a few extra spaces. Originally, I was going to say share it with the losers, but I changed that, the lost. He also shared it with the poor and the homeless. Jesus also shared it with those on the edge of society. You know, people like prostitutes and people with contagious diseases, lepers and such. He also shared it with the unimportant, the second-class citizens, such as women were considered in that time, and children even less than second-class citizens. Children were not to be seen and not to be heard. And Jesus also shared it with those who had little or no power. God sent his son Jesus because of his affinity, a father's love for you and for me, and all who would call his son Savior. Now, this love is unconditional and boundless. It frees us from the constraints of sin. It lasts eternally, and as a matter of fact, it makes us last eternally. It's absolutely free, and it's a gift to be that is designed to be shared with others. Kind of reminds me of the movie Christmas Vacation, where Clark is kind of lamenting to his family that he didn't get his big bonus check like he was supposed to. Instead, he got a certificate for the Jelly of the Month Club, and his cousin, who was not quite as astute as Clark, said, "Yep, that's the gift that keeps on giving." As a matter of fact, in Matthew 22 and 28, we have been commanded and commissioned to tell others about Jesus's amazing message. Now, when you think of the word command, what do you think? Who do you think of? Who commands? Soldiers, right. How about royalty? Sometimes commands subjects to do certain things. How about commissioned? What do you think of when you think of the word commissioned? We commission people in our church, elders, deacons. Sometimes when people are going on mission trips, I know Kate and Billy have been commissioned. The Peru team has been commissioned. You all have been commissioned. If you remember last summer when we went out out into the neighborhood to do good things. So here is the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. God's Son himself has ordered and given us the authority and the power to share this message with families, with family, friends and neighbors, people in our nation, those outside of our comfort zone, those that maybe have a different skin color or act a little differently than we do, and those who are international. Jesus commanded and commissioned us for our why, our passion. And that should be to go to our neighbors, those who are sick and need a doctor, and those individuals that we should love. Now, I know my friend Bob Sweat is here. Bob and I go out and have breakfast twice a month. And just this past week, we were talking about sharing our love. And Bob brought up a very good point. He said, the one way he tries to show his love is through his actions. And that's true. As Christians, we cannot be hypocritical. We must show love through our actions. But that's only half of it. We have to use words also, because no matter how I act, that can't portray to you the idea that God sent his Son to earth to become human and to live among us and to teach us and to go to the cross for us and to offer us eternal life. So God gave us our what to share the gospel, or Jesus gave us our what to share the gospel with those who are sick. He also gave us our how. As Christians, we must share the gospel in simple words with others. Now, I know evangelism is not a huge word with most Presbyterians, but I'm going to make it very simple for you if you pay attention to these four L words in sharing the gospel. The first L word is love. God loved us so much that not only did he create everything and provide us with everything, he sent his Son to die for our sins. Lost, the second L word, lost. We are all lost. We are all sinners. The third L word, liberate. God sent his Son Jesus to take our place on the cross and die for our sins and to liberate us from the cost of disobedience. And then the last L word, life eternal. If we confess our sins, ask forgiveness, and believe and follow in the one true God, he will give us the gift of eternal life that we could never earn on our own. Now, I see my friend Jenny out there, and Jenny's in the adult class, and Jenny is a fireball. I could see Jenny going from door to door sharing the gospel with people. But to be honest with you, most of us are not wired that way. Most of us need to strike up some sort of a relationship with a person and share our story, listen to their story and such, and then share God's story. Like salt, we will season the lives of others. And when I think of salt and light, I think of salt as being the actions seasoning the world, and light as illuminating, sharing God's message with the world. So for 2019, next year, I commission all of you to go out there and share the gospel with those who don't know it. In Jesus' name, amen.